نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد المعدن الجود والبرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله والفضل والله. اللهم صل على سيدنا وصحابي وباري وسلم. أما بعد.
On the day of resurrection, on the day of judgment, the events that will take place, amongst those events and the whole of the plane of resurrection will be set. And what will take place is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's friends, their status, people will witness with their own eyes the status that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for His friends, what maqamat and what status and what things Allah ta'ala has set aside for him. The whole of resurrection, the people on the day of resurrection will be envious that what a great status Allah has given to his friends. High class, Jannah, paradise, alhamdulillah. Lofty ranks, high levels. Rather, in addition, they will attain the nearness to the Anbiya, to the prophets. They'll have high levels, high status, high darajat. And it will be those people who are the friends of Allah. They will get this recognition. Even if it's very seldom that the people who are the friends of Allah are recognized in this world, or people know who are the friends of Allah. Apart from a few who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a few of Allah's friends who Allah in this world makes apparent to the human beings, makes visible to human beings so that they can do Islah and reform the people. Otherwise, Allah keeps His friends hidden, just like a pearl is hidden within the shell. Yes, they always remain focused and in the remembrance of Allah, occupied with the remembrance of Allah. So people in this world don't recognize the friends of Allah. They don't realize who are the friends of Allah. And in this world, on earth, they don't have any status or special recognition. They're rather rejected. And for example, in big gatherings, they're not even allowed to enter. Big majalis, people think they're fakirs or that they're low in status. Just like Hazrat Shaykh Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi wrote in his kitab, in his book, that tomorrow on the day of resurrection, people will learn and realize that the people of the Khankas, what was their status today? That they sit on straw mats, broken mats. I remember the Khanka of my Hazrat Sahib, my Sheikh, where we used to present ourselves. And it was a broken straw mat in his Khanka, and Hazrat Sahib's normal plain prayer mat. And all around there were a few kitabs, and there was a pen, an ink pen, next to Hazrat Sahib, and no fan. Even I remember the scene that in the morning when we did maraqabah in the Khanka, subhanAllah, imagine the scene in the Khanka of Hazrat Sahib. You know, if we consider that, for example, on the doors you had like in January the climate was cold. In Dera Ghazi Khan, because it's like a desert area, wild wilderness around there. So we, in the winter, used to sat there and we used to wrap ourselves with the blankets or the sheets. And Hazrat Sahib, after Fajr, would start Maraqabah, Dhikr of Allah, the gathering. And it was 1.5 hours we used to do Maraqabah. 1.5 hours Dhikr. So this was the scene. And then you'd have like the curtains hanging there from the doors, and they would blow in the wind, and there was a straw mat on the ground. Simple scene. But Allah Ta'ala's azim and great, great wali of Allah, friend of Allah, sitting there hosting dhikr, that the heat from Hazrat Sahib would reach to us, mashallah. His heat would reach to us. So when he'd wake up, when he'd stand up for Ishraq, and then mashallah, you'd see that through the blinds of the window, you see the rays of the sun coming through, and straight it would fall onto the blessed face of Hazrat Sahib. Already he had nur on his face anyway, but with the rays of the sun, there was nur ala nur. I remember this whole scene that I used to see the Hazrat Sahib's khanqa. So this was the khanqa. Yes, and who knew what was the status of Hazrat Sahib, my sheikh? And we were sat there, all of us. And there was no carpet there, no luxury there, no fans there, no air conditioning, no AC, nothing. Simple scene. And no fan. And in the heat, there was nothing to protect us from the heat. But subhanAllah, that was the simple surrounding. So the maqam of these people, the friends of Allah, on the Day of Judgment will be very high. They will be nearby to the ranks of the Nabi. And somebody will be close to this Prophet or that Prophet. And somebody will be close to Imamul Anbiya, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, these are those people, the friends of Allah, who Allah Ta'ala will show and demonstrate their rank, their status on the Day of Resurrection, Judgment, who we call the Awliya Allah, the friends of Allah. Some have been apparent in this world, Hazrat Abdul Qadir Jalani, Hazrat Khwaja Muhyiddin Chishti, Allah Ta'ala sends these individuals to reform the people and makes them dahir, apparent. But even then, their maqam in this world was not made apparent, the maqam that really Allah gave them, the status, the daraja. Yeah, people in this world don't value them. They keep shoving them away or rejecting them. They don't accept them. So if we couldn't realize who they are here and could not understand them here, our basis of life, recognition of who has a status is something else in this dunya. Our criteria of a good person is something else. So how did they become friends of Allah? How do they become great individuals? These people in history. How? If they have a high maqam, high status, they'll have big maqam in the hereafter, somebody due to Quran, somebody due to Salah, somebody due to his ilm knowledge, somebody due to hadith. There'll be darajat, different levels and ranks. So these people who are the awli Allah, the friends of Allah, how did they get their greatness? Because that's the highest maqam. What was their action or the occupation that they are that they're called the friends of Allah? This is today's topic that we will discuss and progress. That's why we sat here, so that we can become walis of Allah. Say subhanAllah. Why are you sitting here, me and you, spending time? Why do you do dhikr of Allah? Why do you consider me, a simple person like me, that I will help you or assist you? Yes. That's the situation we have here. So khair, alhamdulillah, you come here with your good thoughts and good intentions, so you won't leave empty-handed, inshallah, with the fadl of Allah. So, what is it that the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, what was their action that made them walis Allah? Was it salah? Because everybody prays salah. Was it hajj? Was it umrah? Was it qiyam? Was it their siyam? Was it their fasting? What action do the awli Allah do, the friends of Allah do, to give them that status? We need to think about this today, so we can learn this lesson, so that we can also try and make effort. Say subhanAllah. Otherwise, why we sat here? You haven't come here to see me. You haven't come here to see you. Yes? So, maybe we'll discuss something so I can benefit, so my colleagues can benefit. That's why we're here. So now, tomorrow we are also going to die. Don't we want to get a status so that we on the Day of Judgment also are, people envy us. We also lived a life in the world. They also lived. We eat. They also used to eat. The walis of Allah used to eat the bread made from wheat. We also do the same. Their stomach was full and our stomach is full. So we're the same, isn't it, brothers? So, we're all doing these actions, common actions, that the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah also did. But what was this special select deed that they did? Must be special deed that we don't do, that they've got high maqam, higher status. This is the case, isn't it? They must have done something unique. Yes, we think that they do a lot of ibadah, that they're walis of Allah. We all do ibadah. We think they prayed a lot of tahajjud. We also prayed tahajjud. We think they kept a lot of fasts. We also keep fasts. So what action was it that made them unique? There's a special deed they did. Special. Khas. Must have been an action they did that made them walis of Allah. Friends of Allah. That will give them the high status. So the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah, the awliya Allah, these people, obviously, they read Quran, we also read Quran. They are hafiz, there's hafiz amongst us. But they didn't just read the Quran, rather they had fikr and worry and concern on the Quran. Tadabbur on the Quran. The Quran has said this itself to us. They pondered over the Quran, they reflected over the Quran, they thought about the Quran. They worried about the Quran. And they'd look for the points and the pearls in the Quran. The special points they'd read. They'd read their style of looking, reading. The Quran was different. They'd take out the points from the Quran that would make a person close to Allah. Say Subhanallah. Subhanallah. So look at the style. Yes? Because every action of a Muslim makes him seek the nearness to Allah, the qurb of Allah. So the best thing, the best thing which is present in front of us is in the whole world today that can connect us to Allah. There's only one thing where you can get the secret and get the root. What is that? That is the Qur'an-i-Hakim. The Qur'an-i-Hakim. Just one kitab. One kitab. Look at this. Yes? This kitab, this book, the Qur'an will teach us how to find Allah, how to get near to Allah, how to get the connection with Allah. But such is in this day and age that we don't think about the Quran. We don't ponder on the Quran. So the Quran, when a person reads it, it's not giving him any benefit. If you take away pondering and reflecting over the Quran, worried over the Quran, then there's no benefit. Then it's just one point. Oh, one letter you read is 10 rewards, and 2 words you read, 20 rewards, 3 words you read, 30 rewards, and you're looking for reward. But the real objective of the Quran, which is to get the connection to Allah, we cease to go down that route. Do you understand what I'm saying? The real objective of the Quran, look, those people, the person who's thirsty, then he's running around looking for water to quench his thirst. Maybe from this earth I'll dig a well, or maybe from this soil, if I dig down, I'll find water. Everywhere the thirsty person digs on the earth, because he's thirsty, he wants to get water. If he's in the jungle, in the wilderness, he's looking for seeking the water. So this is the reality. Those people who understand life, why we're here in this world, where we're going, and a Muslim who knows that he needs to get close to Allah. Even their salah, their fastings for this reason, their hajjs for this reason, their every action, wake up in the night, staying in the day, morning, doing dhikr, behind every deed is an objective that I want to get close to Allah. That's the Muslim's objective. Hazrat, my Sheikh used to say, my teacher, Hazrat Sahib used to say, as a beautiful statement of his, from his blessed tongue, and that if he was happy with somebody, Hazrat, my Shaykh would say, if he was happy with someone, that Allah razi tebe, what a beautiful statement, what a great dua, he'd say, that may Allah be pleased with you. He said, Allah razi tebe, that may Allah be happy with you. Obviously, the walis of Allah, their dua is accepted. So how many times a person, his dua is accepted, he gets that dua, that, how beautiful, Allah razi tebe, my Shaykh used to say to people, if he was happy with them. A dua, that may Allah be pleased with you. So this is our real objective of life, our mission here. If we take this objective of our life, then all our deeds, they're hollow. They have no reason behind them. Like an empty balloon. Just thawab, 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 thawab. You know, reward. If you're just running after reward, then you're just going to do deeds for reward. If you run after the objective, which is to get Allah's nearness, then all deeds will give you thawab. Every word, everything you do, every action, every deed. So we're sat in this gathering. If you take Allah's pleasure out of here, you get nothing from this gathering. It's just become gabchap. Just discussion, this majlis. Rather, Allah will say that this gathering is just like you are there consuming the flesh of the dead donkey. That's the example. In that gathering where there's no dhikr of Allah, mention of Allah, then it's just like you are consuming the flesh of the dead donkey. This is hadith. So this is the objective, Allah's pleasure. If I come here to know your name, you know my name, let's talk to each other about life. No, we are coming here to take the fragrance that is spread out. That's what we're here for. To get the fragrance that's spread out. So our pious elders, the walis of Allah, when they read Quran, it's the Quran that teaches us everything. Yes, they're from Alif Lam Mim and quickly read it to Surah Nas. No, they rather would read it slowly, the friends of Allah. That that maybe they used to use this method to please Allah. Maybe by pondering, reflecting over these verses, I'll please Allah. So they used to get the nearness of Allah via reading the Quran, concern over the Quran. When they did tadabbur on the Quran, reflecting on the Quran, when they get the path, the solution, then they would give their all for that solution. They would walk and practice that. They wouldn't stop them. Yes, doesn't matter, all challenges of the world come, shaitan whispering comes, doesn't matter what problems, they knew that I'm getting close to Allah, I'm not going to turn back from this path. I'm not going to take a U-turn, that Allah's put me on this path of the deen. Why do I need to look left and right and go somewhere else? So the friends of Allah, they got the nearness to Allah through the Quran. What is the point they took out from the Quran? That today we need to think about this point. That what position are we in today compared to this? The point that the walis of Allah extracted from the Quran was that, brothers, that most valuable resource that a human being has to please Allah, listen carefully to what I'm saying. Listen carefully to what I'm saying. The most precious resource, tool you can say, that a human being has, that no one can make an excuse. No one can make an excuse on this point. That I'm not a scholar, I don't have the knowledge, I'm not Hafiz, how can I find Allah? I'm not a Qari, how can I get near to Allah? People make excuses. Obviously, not every person is the same. Allah's given different results. An alim, a scholar, through the knowledge, if he has sadaqat, sincerity and humility and does amal on his ilm, then he'll get a high level and close to Allah. I'm not an alim. He's not an alim. So for this reason, we don't have the capacity to learn. I'm not a hafiz. And a hafiz who, mashallah, practices the Quran, a ba'amal hafiz, then mashallah, the hafiz will keep on reading the Quran in Jannah and their levels will keep on increasing. If they practice, they'll keep on getting people forgiven. If he's ba'amal hafiz, not just hafiz, but a practicing hafiz. Alim, a practicing alim. A hafiz, a practicing hafiz. They will get the levels. Yes, if we don't have the capacity to have ilm, we can become hafiz because we didn't have the capacity. So we can become that those who have the capacity, they get the Quran and they start doing hifz and they become hafiz, alhamdulillah. Everyone has a desire, I want my children to be hafiz. Everyone has a desire, isn't it? But some children don't become hafiz. So don't beat them or shove them around. The roots are not closed. If your niyyah is that you want to get close to Allah, then don't force. Allah Ta'ala maybe has kept another path for that child. Another path for that child. So don't force and beat and hit. This is dunya we're living in. So understand this. Our nafs decides, oh, I'll say to people, my son is hafiz. They'll praise me, your son. For our praise, we are making our children do these things. So I'm telling you some points here for us to understand. That for example, don't have that much desire to make your children hafiz. So people say, oh, look, here's my son. He's a hafiz. So I can earn praise. So amongst people, my child, not to make people jealous. And people make others jealous as well. By reminding them. You know the relatives, they say, oh, let's put this point. Hey, look, my son, he's a hafiz. And that person, he has his children, maybe they are shaitani or they're sinful. And then he drops the jaw and he becomes happy. Oh, I'm showing off. Can such a hafiz be successful? You're just doing it for your fame. So Allah Ta'ala has given every individual different abilities. If you want to be an alim, he went, he learned the ilm. The knowledge, he became a scholar. Allah has opened the path for him. And Allah wants to bring him near, that individual near to Allah himself. So Allah has given him a path. So on that ilm he's learned, the knowledge he starts practicing, then he will get the highest level of Allah's nearness. On the day of judgment, there will be no example compared to him. But if he's an alim, he's a thief, he's lying, he doesn't pray salah, then if he goes against his ilm, then he stopped that path himself, the alim, the scholar, isn't it? So if I'm not a scholar, an alim, it doesn't mean that I don't have any other way to get to Allah. There are thousands of people who are not scholars. So has Allah not given them a way, a path for those people? The doors are not closed. They have different options, say subhanAllah. The doors are not closed. Not every person can become an alim, a scholar. No, is every wali Allah hafiz? No. So the people who we spoke about, they had high maqam in the hereafter, and all the people in the universe will have envious of them, that they're the walis of Allah. We didn't even know about them. As Ibrahim bin Adam, rahmatullah, great wali Allah. Great wali Allah. And he, subhanAllah, he used to say beautiful statements. That I was a king before, he used to say to people. I was a king of the world, and high level king he was, Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullahi. High level king. But he said, what a great statement. And the beautiful taste comes then, that when a person is rich in the world, and then he goes towards simplicity, humbleness, that's where the enjoyment is. When he shuns everything of the dunya, and he goes towards Allah. That's where the satisfaction. What did he say? He said, I was a king, high level king. He said, I left my kingdom and I adopted darveshi life, simple life. And he breathed a long breath, a deep sigh, and said that this was a very cheap bargain, cheap transaction, easy for me to. He said, this path, it was a very cheap transaction. Then he said further that when Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, when Allah's mercy comes towards him, because the walis of Allah is such that Allah rahmah, it comes towards that person. There's a time when Allah Ta'ala's rahmah comes towards that person. Overwhelms that person. For example, I saw a time that Zuhr time was with my Shaykh. Hazrat Sahib was in a unique state of Jalal, my Shaykh. He used to, for example, Allah's rahmah used to rain down on him. That's called, you can say, Allah's rahmah when it rains down on walilas. Because our gathering is a gathering all of the awliya Allah, that's why I share events of the walis of Allah with you. Because we've all come for this purpose. So that's why I share the events of the awliya Allah with you so we can learn from that. So, Hazrat Ibrahim bin Adam said that when Allah's rahmah used to rain down on me, Ibrahim bin Adam rahmatullah said, that when Allah's mercy used to rain down on me, if not just one king, he said, if all the kings in the world at that time were to understand Allah's rahmah and mercy that's coming, raining down upon me, if they even got one splash of it at that time, then they would give up all their sultanates and kingdoms and they'd just leave all of their lands because of that one splash of Allah's mercy that rains down upon me. He said, Subhanallah. So when a person goes on the path of Allah, there are difficulties, there are challenges and barriers. But when Allah is found, then that wali Allah forgets everything. We just step back right in the beginning. Oh, it's too hard to practice. Or 4 days, 5 days, we'll practice for 1 week. After this, oh, I can't do this. Oh, just sit there empty-handed. It's too hard. Shaitan attacks and whispers in our ears. Don't give up, my friends. Don't give up. Tonight, what I'm telling you is the most valuable knowledge and understanding that you can become a wali Allah. Yes. The paths, there are many ways, many methods. Somebody gets a high level due to some reason, somebody else due to another thing. But this path, this is for everybody essential, everyone here. Without this, you cannot become a wali Allah without this point that we're sharing today. This amal that I'm explaining to you, this deed that I'm telling you, nobody can become a wali Allah without this point. This point, this amal, this action we must do, each human being. Is common. Every wali Allah, you can say, is the common denominator. You can say that only he can be wali Allah who has this action and in his life. And if he became a wali Allah, he must have done this action, otherwise he could not become a friend of Allah. This is how great is this action. Important. Yes? So there's no excuse. If an individual is doing this amal, then he definitely will become a high class wali Allah, high level wali Allah. Lazim, essential we do this action. Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it easy to understand what I'm saying? And what is the action? Let's ask ourselves. That we should do. And all of us can do this. You, each and every one of you sitting here, can do this action. Allah's made it easy and simple for everyone to practice this. It's not difficult. Wal asr. Allah says in the Quran, Subhanallah, in one verse statement, Allah has sealed, Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr. Look at this, how Allah Ta'ala has given us the formula, and the walis of Allah have taken the secret from the Quran. Oh, this is the formula. This is the formula. And the Mufassirin have given commentary, but I'm telling you a tafsir that the pious predecessors do on this verse. Not tafsir, you can say what they have stated, the pious elders, the walis of Allah I speak about, innit? Our pious elders, because I have nothing. Yeah, I've sat at the shoes of the walis of Allah, and what I've learned from their shoes, sitting near their shoes, I am sharing with you. When I sat in their company, what I learned, I'm sharing with you. Wal asr. Allah has announced in the Quran, that O insan, most greatest, most precious resource and action that you've been given, the biggest wealth that you've been given, that you must invest now for Allah's love, to get paradise, to get Allah's nearness. The biggest resource Allah's given to you, asset in this world, that you must invest now, utilize properly. What is that? Time. Wal asr. Wal asr means time. The time, isn't it? The Mufassirin, the commentator said, that Allah has sworn here, promise by the time. So imagine where Allah swears by, wal asr, by the time, Allah says. So imagine how great a wealth is the time. Isn't it? Yes? So whoever understands, oh, this is the formula. that if I find Allah's nearness, I can only get close to Allah by using this wealth of time. When Allah swears by the time, Allah says, "Innal الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ." That where is time and where's khasara? Two opposite extremes. Well, Allah's connected both. Say subhanallah. Yeah, do you understand it? There's no connection really, is there? Time, and Allah says at the same time, loss. That but verily the human being is earning loss. Khasara. Loss. What is loss? Losing. For example, loss is when you do trade. When you do trade, tijarat, business. There's two results. Either khasara or nafa. Either loss or profit. Without trade, you can't get lost. For example, you got a shop or a business. So to trade, you have to invest in something, don't you? You have to invest in something. You'll have to invest in something, isn't it? For example, there's an individual. And if you invest in a company, this many thousands of pounds you've given. Okay? So you've invested, that I've got this many thousands of pounds, we will invest in this company. Now what happens? What result do you want? You don't want khasara, you want profit. You don't want loss, you want profit. Say subhanallah. Subhanallah. Yes? No, we don't like the loss. What do we like? We want profit. After a year, how much profit comes? Let's see. This is a company, fantastic company. We'll get good profit. We've invested our money there. Okay? So you've invested into that company, and what does that company do? It takes your money, that company, and it puts it into fuzuliyat. It invests in the wrong products. It doesn't work hard with your money. Doesn't make an effort. Hasn't done nothing with your money. Eventually what happens? Result that when it hasn't bought the right products or done the right services, hasn't implemented and wasted time, then tell me, will there be benefit? No, rather what will happen? There will be khasara, loss. There will be a loss, isn't it? That company has committed an excess, something wrong. All the money is gone. It's been wasted. Nothing's saved. It's destruction, isn't it? The money's gone. It's finished. So what does Allah Ta'ala say? That how khasara now, the subject of khasara loss. Wal asr. Allah says, most valuable investment I've given to, commodity I've given you to invest in, O human being, is what? Is time, Allah is saying. If only you understand what I'm saying, so I could explain to you. What has Allah given to us? The greatest commodity that we should spend on or invest in? Time. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. If the human being does not utilize time correctly, subhanallah, if the human being, Allah says, I've given you time to use this commodity, this asset of time, if you don't use time properly, correctly, time, this time if you waste in useless talk, or spending time incorrectly, just like the investment, the money you gave, and the company didn't do the right thing with the money, Allah has given you time. So consider the time as the money now. Allah says, if you wasteful talk, useless talk, gapshap, doing sins, doing wrong actions, and following your passions and desires, that is happening nowadays. What are we doing today? What wealth are we preparing? Yes, the investment we're doing with time. What's the investment? How are we using time? If we waste the time, then everything will go from our lives. Yes, so it's restricted that you only ever spend a specific amount of money that you invest. Allah's given us 60 years. The 60 years is the wealth. This is our money. And with this money of the 60 years, we have to buy Jannah. We have to earn Jannah. With this wealth of time, we have to go to Allah. With this wealth of time, we will get the rank and the status in the hereafter. Say subhanAllah. And such a great wealth, Allah is sworn by this, that there's no greater wealth than this. It's a big commodity you've been given, time. Such a great asset. Allah says, with time you can get close to me and you'll earn my love with time, using the time properly. Subhanallah. Allah says, if you waste time in this world, then you are totally in the path of loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Then that human being is deviated, he's destroyed. He has nothing to his name. That human being who wastes time after 60, 70 years when he returns to Allah on the day of resurrection, he was straight to hell. He's got nothing to show for his time. He's not invested that time properly on planet Earth. He's wasted his time. What do? That Allah's given us time to invest properly, to earn profit. Where the real profit will come? Where? The daimi, permanent, the hereafter. What do? Where do we invest our time? In the wrong products, in the wrong, this many houses, this many shops, this many things. In other words, such a valuable thing, time we are spending on the world which has no value. Say subhanAllah. Do you understand the point I'm making?
Allah's given us time. Allah says, time I give you in the world, what shall I do? I'll earn money, I'll buy a house, then on the house I'll get a car, a few things, assets. What you should have done with your time, if I invested it properly, where? Towards the permanent home that Allah's made in the hereafter. That's where I should spend my time. Look at this point. What a difference. Stark difference. That's why Allah says that definitely the human being is in loss because he's wasting his time in his life. This time's gone, the time that's gone down the drain, you will not get it back. You will not get the time that's gone, you cannot grab it back, you cannot pull it back, it's gone. The time that's gone, the time that has gone, it will not lapse, it will not come back, it will not return. Remember, time does not return. My Hazrat, my Sheikh said, everything you can do qada, you can make up for it, but the company of the Sheikh, you cannot make up for the loss. If you sat today in the company of a teacher, a Sheikh, this time, right now, the anwarat, the noor, the light, you will not get this magnificence feeling tomorrow. You'll get the company of the Sheikh in the future, but today's company of the Sheikh you've wasted, you cannot get that tomorrow. Why? Was this for that day, that time Allah gave that tajalli, that magnificence, that splendor, that rahmat in the company of the wali Allah, you get at that time. Just like we've come today in the night of Jummah, today's rahmat, today's tajalli, today's splendor. You learn it today, you can't get it tomorrow. When it's gone, you can't get it tomorrow. If we say, oh, I'll go tomorrow, I'll sit with Hazrat Sahab tomorrow. No, 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 you've lost today. Today's gone. Understand, why are we created? Why are we in this world? Our life is delicate and soft and delicate. It's not here, come here and money and produce children and houses, make houses and die. Is this how cheap you think is your life on this earth? What a great object. Each and every one of us here right now have come to this world with a great purpose. Big, big purpose of life. Imagine on the Day of Judgment, Allah show the high status, glory of the walis of Allah, the friends of Allah. Why were they walis of Allah? They understood this point. They never wasted a second of their life. Imam Abu Hanifa, Hazrat Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah, great jurist, great faqih. He doesn't need any introduction, does he? Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah. Yes, where was he? He was a king at that time. He had no ilm. He was a faqir. But he used to go into the company of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullahi. And Abu Hanifa used to love him so much that when the king would come, he'd stand up, he'd say, Sayyida, Sayyida. And he used to give him the title, Sayyida, Sayyida, Sardar, come. And once the students asked, Hazrat, he's a fakir, you're calling him Sayyid, and you stand up for him, you made him Sardar, and given him high status. Then he replied with a great, fantastic statement. He said, yes, I am a jurist, I have got ilm. But this man who comes to this gathering, there's one quality of his which is fantastic, which makes me stand up. What is that? That he has never wasted time in his life. He's always occupied in dhikrullah. And we go here and there and get lost, but he's focused. So imagine his statement. So the real reason he gave respect, that doesn't matter how successful you are in the world, but you'll be successful, really successful, when you use the time properly. The time Allah has given you life, not a second. Every second of the life should be invested in a massive way. Who's given this second to you? Allah has given you this wealth of 1 minute, 1 second. 1 minute of time is so great that if in that minute, 10 times if you focus on your heart, and 10 times say, Allah, 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 your heart beats, then your rank is the difference between the heavens and the earth. Noor. Is this not investment? In that 1 minute? Is this a waste of time? In that minute? Ahsani taqweem, Allah says in the Quran. Why is Allah said, this is not ahsani taqweem, that we can eat and walk around, and we can do this and that, we can walk and fly in the air, and I can do this and that. And for example, I can farm, I can toil, I can make money. No, no, this is not the purpose. Insan, human being, Allah has put such treasures in the human being that the most valuable thing Allah has given to the human being is time. Time. So this time, Allah Ta'ala hasn't given us for wasteful activities. Allah has given us time for what reason? That Allah says, use your time in this world to attain the nearness to Allah. Allah says, with every breath of yours, draw near to me. Isn't this the case? Do you understand my words, what I'm saying to you? Those who understand what I'm saying, put your hands up. Put your hands up if you understand what I'm saying. MashaAllah, good Jamaat, good Jamaat. Good class. It's very difficult to share the thoughts with you. So MashaAllah, I'm very grateful to you that you understand what I'm saying. So the real point here is, wal asr, innal insan lafi khusr. The most important thing is time. The greatest treasure, greatest wealth. You could say money is time if you invest it properly. So Allah says, now you've got the time, so invest it, utilize it correctly, properly, rightfully. For example, if you give money to a company and you just want that, oh, I want him to invest it properly, and he'll invest that money according to his desire, there is a risk of loss. Subhanallah. May I be sacrificed. Ajeeb tafsir is coming now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has only not just given us time for investment to utilize properly, rather Allah has also given us the products to purchase. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Four products Allah has told us that you, for your investment of time, you need to spend on four things: Iman, عَمَلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, righteous deeds, haq, and sabr. Four products that you need to utilize in your life. SubhanAllah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or you don't understand what I'm saying? That Allah says, this is the time I've given to you, utilize it properly. These are the four products you invest your time in. If you spend your time on these four things, then you'll get a lot of profit. Four things: Iman. Iman. Big thing. Iman, the faith I've given to you, Allah says. Belief. The whole time you need to spend on investing your time to protect your Iman. Invest your time to protect your Iman. Look for those actions in your life that no deed should spoil your Iman. And your Iman should be protected, sealed, so you can recite the kalama and get to the hereafter. This is your right investment. This is the kalama. Say subhanAllah. What's the next product Allah has given? The next action for you to do with time? إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Not just amal, Allah said. Pray salah, keep fast. No, I didn't say amal. عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Allah says deeds. First Allah says wa'amal. And if you don't do deeds, then after doing deeds, even after that, this time I've given to you, where should you spend that time? Make your amal الصَّالِحَاتِ. Transform your amal. Not empty amal. Not empty actions. Amal, it has to be salih. Salih actions. Righteous, that Allah likes, that Allah says, I like your salah, I like your fasting, your recitation of Quran, I like it, Allah says. This is called amal salihat, where Allah says, I like what you're doing. So invest your time, apart from using your time in other things, Allah says, invest your time in amal salihat, correct your deeds, and I have to present these actions, wallah. Invest your time in this manner. And the third thing, haq, subhanallah. Haq means what? What does haq mean? Haq. Sahi deen. No bid'ah, no innovation, no oppression, no kharafat, no wrong aqidah, not a non-Islamic way. There shouldn't be even a hair's width of contamination. Pure deen. What? Ittabai sunnah deen. Imitation of the sunnah, following the sunnah. Not on top of you something, inside you something, this way you something, in the masjid you something else, outside the masjid, different libas dress. No. Walking, talking, standing, sitting, living. Complete color of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Haq is haq. This is the haq deen. Imitation of the sunnah. SubhanAllah. This is how you spend your time. Spend your time on the haq. Invest your time on the haq, which is the way of the sunnah. Exactly live your life according to Sharia. If you're not following that path, then work hard. The means to do that, attain those means and work hard on this to correct yourself. So these are things that you have to attain. Don't stop your effort to attain these things. So with your time, if you do these things, your time will be so precious that in Jannah you'll get the high maqam. After haq, what does Allah mention? Sabr. Sabr, subhanAllah. Allah says, on this path of the deen, there'll be challenges and trials and tests and barriers to follow the right deen. There'll be barriers, restrictions, and hindrances. Doesn't matter how many come, what should you do? Allah says, don't get scared. Allah says, just do bardasht, endure, endure. Don't leave the path ever, don't leave the path ever. So how do we invest our time? Allah has given us products to invest our time in. Allah says, spend your time here. Why are you wasting your time? And sit there, TV, watch the scenes on your phone, programs, gapshap, chitcha, okay, Allah, how you phone this man, message this person, this many shops, this many businesses. Well, Allah says, what's this waste of time? These four or five things, these four things spend your time on. When you spend your time on these four things, this will make you a wali Allah, a friend of Allah. Each and every one of you. So whoever becomes a wali Allah, remember this point. Whoever becomes a wali Allah, he became a wali Allah from this method. He grabbed his time in his life. Then he didn't waste the time. How can I waste time? He said, oh, every second, every moment is extremely valuable. Every moment is valuable. Shall I just sit there and just give up? No second should be wasted in life. No moment should be wasted in life. That's when a person finds the path of Allah and he arrives to Allah's connection. This life isn't about gapshap, chit-chat. chit-chat, waste time. Look for the path, the way Allah has prescribed. In that way a person has to travel in life, the way Allah has prescribed. We, hours on end, we waste time. Hours. Sleeping, standing, eating, sitting. Acha. It's totally waste of time. Wasteful person. No hisab, he doesn't account. Someone says, okay, Allah's given me tawfiq, and he accepts that Allah's given him time. Okay, I've prayed salah, isn't it? What else shall I do? What are you telling me to? I've recited Quran. What else do you want me to do? Why are you telling me to do this more? I've come from Umrah. I spent time in Ramadan. What else shall I do? Allah didn't say this. Allah didn't say this. This is the issue. That after praying salah, are you free from everything? No. No. This hukam, that not for a second should you be detached from your objective. Not that after salah, you're free to do what you want. You have no need to follow the practice, the path, the method to get close to Allah. End of story. No. This is not the case. Allah explains other methods, other explanation, more depth. What a great hadith. It stated that in Jannah, even if you arrive to Jannah, paradise, when a Jannati will get to paradise, the people of paradise, when they'll get to paradise, even there they'll be sad. That what are you sad about now when you get to paradise? What is the issue? That you've got everything now. Why are you sad now? What's the regret now? The people of paradise will say, we are sad for this reason, that if only that time, that second that we spent in life without doing dhikr of Allah, without remembering Allah on earth, if we realized then that such great rewards we'd get in paradise, not a second would we have wasted in our life, subhanAllah. That those 2-3 minutes we had and we were lazy from the dhikr of Allah, they're regretting in paradise that Allah, what a big, big thing we've wasted. Imagine how valuable is time then. Tell me from this hadith. Now look at our lives. Look at our lives. This is not how we will get success, my friends. Though this is such a waste of time, life we are spending on this earth. When I read this hadith, and then I thought that really, are we wasting our time? What will we get from this time that we're spending in this world? What will we get? Like for example, now when we fill our sheets, the daily tazkiyah sheet system that we have established, how long does it take? Yes, when any person, for example, when he puts a cross and he doesn't do it, then it comes. You lose one day. For example, if you don't fill in the sheets for that day, then you lose that one day. One day is wasted. So this, for this reason, we've made this system to revive our thoughts, that reflect on yourself. Think about yourself. That for example, if you don't fill the sheets in for that day, then you can't, that's void that day. That hours, that day you've wasted your time, that how, if there's crosses on your sheets here today in this world, then imagine how many crosses there'll be. Allah say, you wasted this, oh my man, you wasted this. What Jannah do you want? What accounts? What time you wasted? Go and sit in that corner, Allah will say. Go and sit in that corner. I saw an individual who passed away in the dream. He used to come to the masjid, pray salah, everything he did fine. I saw him in the dream. A person, he passed away. And his relative sitting here right now as well. He's sitting here, but I won't tell him. So that individual, he died. He used to come, visit the masjid regularly, in front of me, and mashallah, I saw him in the dream after he passed away. After a couple of days, I said, huh? I said, let's have a look. So, just like, you know, we have the council house, subhanAllah, in Jannah, you'll also, will you have like this as well? So I said, in the council house, and he's reclining and sitting there, small house, a small room. And I said his name, assalamu alaikum. I said, you are here? Where? And just like he was next to the masjid, attached to the masjid, he had a schedule, a practice. He said, yes, this is the room I've got, and this is where I'm living. So khair, we spoke a couple of things. And then I realized, I learned that you can't get success from just a little bit of action. You just say for salah, you do recite the Quran for a bit, and that's it. Nothing else. No. If you want something in the hereafter, you have to invest every single second here. Spend your time properly in the world. That's when Allah Ta'ala says, with every breath I've given you dhikr. Why is Allah Ta'ala says, وَذْكُرُوا اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ? Why has Allah said this? For this reason, that dhikr does not allow you to be ghafil. What did Imam Abu Hanifa say about that person who used to attend his majlis? That he is a dhakir. His heart is never lazy, negligent. He said, I'm a faqih, I'm a jurist, and sometimes I'm detached from the reality. Yes, so that's, he said, that's how I come. But he's a dhakir. That's why he praised him. So, Allah has given us time to use properly, and the best way to invest time in this dunya, the best way to invest your time in this world, is that use your time properly. And what's the best way to use your time properly? Dhikrullah, remembrance of Allah. There's no greater action than that, to invest put your time properly into. That you can buy everything, as Ibrahim, you know them, said. So Ibrahim alayhi salam said to the Prophet on the night of Miraj, that give a message to your ummah, that if you want Jannah, whatever you want to make it on the earth whilst you're living on earth. Make your Jannah paradise. Make your Jannah. This is how important. Subhanallah. How long does it take to say Subhanallah? Does it take long to say Subhanallah? And your tree is grown in paradise. Subhanallah. You say Subhanallah, a tree is grown in paradise. Where we are going to go? Yes? So tell me, how many people said Subhanallah today? How many have said Subhanallah today? How many people have counted money today? Many of us have counted money. Allah doesn't say don't count money, but the problem is that how much are you investing your time for the hereafter, where you're going to go forever? How much have you invested your time for that? It's not this, that you do dhikr a few seconds and I've invested for the hereafter. No! The Allah says in your life, the amount of life I've given to Allah says, what is life? What is life? The whole collection of your breaths is life. Yes? I'm giving you a new definition now. Add up all your breaths. Add up all of your breaths. Allah's given you, okay, if you've got 500 breaths, that's your life. Every breath will be accounted for. Every breath will be accounted for. Subhanallah. Your breath is not stopping here. Every breath goes up to the heavens. When you breathe out, the breath goes up to Allah. It gets Allah's permission. Shall I go back down to this man and breathe in? Allah says, yes, go back. So Allah gives permission. So you say, how does this happen? That in front of you there's a fly. What's this about? Surprise to be about? If it's a honeybee, say that, for example, Allah says, I give wahi. Even the honeybee gets the message from Allah. Read the Quran. Allah gives it the message. The honeybee, even Allah Ta'ala reveals through the honeybee. Allah Ta'ala instructs, communicates, because there's different ways of wahi communication. So there's also the communication. So that honeybee also gets the message from Allah. Allah says what? That go from here and fly. Then that bee, it goes to the mountain. It goes many miles to different place. Where Allah Ta'ala sends the bee, it arrives there. When that bee, it goes to a mountainous region, to a flower, Allah seats it down. The honey bee takes the message from Allah. And look at the capacity and the strength Allah has given it. That bee goes and sits on a flower. Sits on a flower, isn't it? What do we know? And then Allah's system starts, the machine, manufacturing. What a machine that is drawing the fragrance from the flower. The bee, imagine this small honeybee, minute creature. And those who have the honey industry business, they know about the bee. Do you know about the honeybee? How it extracts and then it manufactures. So it's extracting. But we don't know where it's coming from and how it's being manufactured. Because the bee has used the time properly. According to Allah Ta'ala's instruction, it's used the time properly. The machine, the capacity, the ability Allah gave to the bee did it properly. They put so much sweetness into the honey. So today, O human being, Allah has given you breaths and life. Every breath of yours will become so sweet that the whole of Jannah will become for you. Paradise will become for you. Yes, so the bee, and look at the system, how it sucks and extracts the juice from the blood. Bring any machine that you can put onto a flower. Is there any machine you can make? But look at the kamal. The way Allah Ta'ala instructs the bee, then it flies away. The bee doesn't forget where its hive is. Look at the kamal of the bee. Yeah, who makes this? Allah Rabbul Kareem makes this system. So the bee, it flew from miles away, but Allah's given it signs. Yes, Nuri Ayatana. Then Allah says, Fi anfusikum. Then Allah Ta'ala says, the whole world I have spread out my glory, my signs, and look, inside you is your heart, Latifa Qalba, Ruh, and Sar. These are the treasures I put inside you, human being, but you don't utilize them. Yeah, hatta Allah says, Yaqeen, that when you immerse yourself in my name, you'll get to my yaqeen, to my nearness. Quran says this, isn't it? So Allah says, I've given the bees as a sign to you to learn from its cycles. Allah says, human being, I've put the treasure inside you, your lataif, the points, the lessons of the name of Allah. Go to a shaykh, an Naqshbandi teacher, and he will teach you the name of Allah. So you can recite his name internally, then the haq will come out of your life when you practice. Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. Look at this. So haq comes through dhikr. So the bee, it comes back to its hive. Then what does the bee do? Then it comes, it's extracted the juice from the flower, it's inside it, and then Allah's put a plant, a manufacturing plant, like a factory inside the bee, that juice starts to transform. It transforms, and its form changes, its state changes, its structure changes, and then such a sweet honey. If we see that when you put your finger into the honey and taste it, and then you can take a spoon of sugar, but the taste from the fingertip of honey, you can't equate that to a spoon of sugar. Say subhanallah. Why? Because it's such a manufacturing plant Allah's put inside the bee. It converts that juice, and after converting in the factory within the bee, Allah says, Ahsanit taqweem. I've made these creatures and the actions they do for your ahsan al-taqweem. Allah says within the bee, then batuniya, Allah says shifa and cure and solution, a complete cure for all the diseases from the honey. Such a solution, a cure. Allah says, my human beings that eat the honey, and after eating honey, for which reason? Allah says, eat what I've given to you, and I've given you the time so that you can utilize and invest the time for the hereafter. Yes, but we'll eat the whole bottle of honey. Yeah, we'll get the asal bottle from Pakistan, from other parts in the world. We'll eat the whole bottle of honey. But have we utilized then your time, your breath, your life? We don't use it in the right way. So the bee is good. The bee is a good example. What a high grade thing is given to us. It's fulfilled its objective, its purpose, the bee. So Allah Ta'ala has given us one duty. Every breath of your life, Allah says, human being, that you can make your life. Every breath, Allah Ta'ala says, this is the formula, that the breath Allah has given to you, Allah will say, you'll say Allah, next breath subhanAllah, this breath I'll do this dhikr. Every breath goes up to Allah, every breath takes permission from Allah, then it comes down, then it goes up, then it comes down. When Allah says stop, immediately at that time, who comes? The angel of death comes. The angel of death? Yes? It's a malikul maut, the angel of death. Very quickly we realize, then when it will come, the angel of death will come. It will say, Assalamu alaikum. It will say, your breaths have stopped. What is that? It's just an excuse of death. That, oh, he's had a heart attack. No attack, nothing. What happens that time? Allah says, your breaths, no permission now. Your breath stop, investment stop, book is closed. Life now, nothing is left. Why? Because all the time I gave to you, Allah said, you spent in chit-chat, gup-shup, listening to music, banging the music, wasting time. And listening. Listening is not an achievement. Yes? Listening to what? What kind of investment is that? Listening. Yeah, that's just a nasha. And speaking is a nasha. It's intoxication. Listening is intoxication. Enjoyment is such that a person, that subhanAllah, just like that the beauties and the glories are distributed, Allah says, take them. That for example, if you have intoxication and sharab and alcohol in the world, is there any real enjoyment in that? No. The soon as, for example, a person looks at it, you can't get intoxicated. But when they drink it, they get intoxicated. And they say, this is the taste of this, this is it. But Allah Ta'ala's love has a beautiful taste, Allah Ta'ala's love. Until you don't consume it, how will you know? Alif Allah, Allah says, that until you don't consume the potion of my love, how will you know? The great Shaykh, Hazrat Sultan Bahu, rahmatullahi, is a Shaykh in Pakistan. He was immersed in the name of Allah. Today, if you go on his mazar, everywhere, Allah, 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 you hear from around. Even the birds, the small birds, even they say, Allahu, Allahu, near his grave. Pakistan. Sultan Bahu, rahmatullahi. His first statement in his kitab, Alif Allah Chambeli Buti. Yes? And he explains regarding the name of Allah. Great, great statement. He said that I was seeking Allah Ta'ala's servant. That Allah introduced me to your wali. When I arrived to my murshid, my teacher, then he just did one action. Then my heart, he inserted the plant, the root of Allah Ta'ala's name. Yes? This is the plant, the root. He said he inserted the root of Allah's name. Then the name of Allah, Allah's ism is that, then Nafi la ilaha illallah, put the mud, water in there. When he watered that root, that plant, he said, all the branches, they started to grow within my body. Subhanallah. These not false liar people. They were honest people. They were honest people. Yes. They were true walis of Allah. So he invested his time correctly, properly in his breath, each and every breath for the sake of Allah. Look what he became. Where do we spend our breaths, our time? Imagine. Yes? What do we do? Just inhaler. Inhaler, I can't breathe, take the inhaler. We keep on forcing that, for example, the true breath, the real breath, is for the sake of Allah. Habs enafs. Do habs enafs, dhikr, and see how your breath opens, and you won't need an inhaler then to breathe. You won't need assistance. I'm telling the right thing. This is an individual, he's a doctor, and he said that I'm asthma, hard to breathe, what shall I do? He said that I'll give you more now, zikr of Allah to do. After 10 days, he said, meet me. Went back after 10 days, said, oh, I've thrown my inhaler away. I've done so much zikr that my disease is gone. So invest in the name of Allah. La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Then he doesn't need the inhaler, doesn't need the medicine. So everything in the world, Allah is in control, under controls every creature in the world. So invest your time for the sake of Allah, for the purpose Allah gives you, in the products for iman, protection of iman. How do you do that? Do that. How do I protect my iman? That's the first product. Invest your time on amal. Allah has instructed us to practice amal salihat. How do I do this? How do I make my deeds righteous? Where shall I search for the true deen, the pure deen, in which there's no oppression, no darkness, no shirk, no pretense? How will I learn that? How will I get that deen? Work hard on that. Spend time on that. And then on that effort, that so many difficulties, how should we endure through the difficulties? Sabr. That after we practice the deen, that the true deen says don't consume interest, otherwise, but we say I'll die hungry. It's true deen says don't lie. But if I don't lie, how will I run my business, we say? True deen says don't sign incorrectly. If I don't sign incorrectly, then how will the money come for me? Social security, people say. That for example, instead of two, I'll show three children, a false house, and I've got this and that, I'll get the money. This is our deen, isn't it? Today. So Ramadan, that will have the seat already booked in advance, going on Umrah. In advance. Seats booked in advance, months before, I'm going on Umrah, I just want to go Umrah and spend my time there, do itikaf, etc. My brothers, true deen, look for the haq deen, the true deen. Where will we find that? Where will we protect our iman? Where will we find amal salihat? Where will we find Islam? Allah has given us the cure. Invest your time where? Go to the company of a wali Allah. And give your life to him. Hand over your life to him. When you hand, Allah says, I've given your life for this reason, you assign it over to a wali of Allah. The Shaykh, Allah said, I gave you life for this purpose. I gave you life for this purpose. Allah says himself, Allah has taught us a dua, that Allah, give me your love. Oh Allah, I'm searching for your love. We're asking from Allah. Allah, I'm searching for your love. Allah, I want your love. Allah, I want nothing else. Allah, I want your love. This is a dua Allah has taught us. I want nothing else. I just want your love. Allah gives the reply. If you want my love, Allah says, if you want my love, then those people who already love me, love them and I will love you, Allah says. Subhanallah. The walis of Allah. The friends of Allah. Remember this dua. Great dua. You'll have heard this dua. This is a hadith. It's a hadith. Allah says, those who love me already, go to their company, then you'll get my love, Allah says. Then you'll get my love. So this is a guarantee Allah has given, that invest your time here, your breaths, your time. Go find the company of a sheikh and spend your time in that sheikh's company to find Allah's nearness. To find Allah's nearness. Is it right or wrong? Am I right or am I wrong? Tell me. So most valuable thing today is what? I repeat again, I summarize again. What do we need to do in our lives? Do you understand or you don't understand? Shall I bring again? Shall I explain to you again? What was the topic of today? That we should not waste our time. We should not be wasting our time. Do you understand what I'm saying? Don't waste your time. Because time is an asset Allah has given to us. وَلَصَرْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ Allah says, I gave you the biggest treasure, the biggest gold, time. I gave you time to find my nearness, Allah says. Spend your time to get my nearness. Don't spend your time on dunya, Allah says. Allah says, spend your time to find my muhabbat, my love. Spend your time to find my connection. Otherwise, you're wasting the treasure I gave you. And you'll earn a loss. And all the human beings in the world are in khasara, loss, who are spending time on other things in the dunya. They're attaining a loss. They're earning a loss. Do you understand what I'm saying easily? Easy to understand? So spend your time on what? To find Allah's love, to get Allah's muhabbat. This life is being given to us only to earn Allah's pleasure. That's it. Every breath of ours, no breath should be wasted. Even this, Allah says, give the rise to your wife, give rise to your children. Allah says all these things. Spend your life in the dunya. Do the necessary things. Of course, Allah's prepared that, Allah says, that your hand and your body, your life is in the world. You're working. And do khidmat, serve your wife, your children, your family. Even these all included in worship. But your heart should be attached to Allah. Your heart should be attached to Allah. Allah says, I want your heart. Allah said this, that come to me with the qalbin saleem. Allah says, come with a peaceful heart, a heart that's content. And only I should be in your heart, Allah says, and no other love, muhabbat should be in your heart. Come to me with such a heart. Allah says, all your deeds will be accepted. So for that, you need to work hard. You need to wonder, just like your sheikh advises you, do dhikr that way, the way sheikh tells you, sit in the majlis, so that your heart, which is always, says occupied, busy, where you're at work, remembering Allah, your heart's beating, Allah's name. Every second, remember, focus on your heart. Focus on, this is a practice that we do here. Every moment that your heart is doing Allah, 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 you're working, you're at work, focus on the heart. Your heart's beating. Your heart's beating. If you don't pay attention to your heart, then you won't think, do the right thing. So every moment your heart, you should be focused on your heart, that my heart is doing Allah, Allah, Allah. Even if you're at work in the dunya, then you're investing high grade investment for the hereafter. High grade investment for the hereafter. But Allah doesn't say don't work, don't drive a taxi, or don't have a business. Whatever you're doing, do it. In the dunya, 8-9 hours, fine, do it. Totally. And you have to do it like this. That's why Allah has given us the dunya system. A honeybee can make honey, so can you not remember Allah in the heart whilst you're working? Say subhanAllah. Say subhanAllah. How can this be possible? How can this not be possible? Tell me, Allah has put a manufacturing plant in a bee, Allah has made us human beings, so can't we do this also that our heart is remembering Allah and we can work with our hands and we're sat with the wife, with the children, but our heart is attached to Allah at the same time. Can't we do that? Why not? Allah says if you work hard and make effort, today you have to do two things. Don't waste time. And don't waste time. What's the meaning of wasting time? What's the meaning of wasting time? That you have to practice. You have to practice that focus on the heart. That is saying Allah, 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 Allah. With the tongue. Not with the tongue. Tongue is stopped. But focus. Think your heart saying Allah, Allah, Allah. And you'll see yourself that when you practice, then you get the success. When you practice. So you understand what I'm saying? Good. Now do you understand? What was the topic of today? That don't waste time. Wherever you see that you're wasting time, what am I doing wasting time? Immediately at that time, stop the action, do istighfar, ask Allah for forgiveness, a shaitan attacked me. If your hand goes to the phone, waste time, you ask yourself, what am I doing? What am I looking here on the phone? Ask yourself, what am I doing? Oh, stupid man, did Allah give you life for this reason? Stop here straight away. Speak to yourself. Remind yourself. Talk to yourself. As a Sheikh Arfi Rahmatul Alay used to say, that talk to yourself, remind yourself, correct yourself. What are you about to do here, stupid man? Are you not ashamed? What are you doing here? What are you going to do now on the phone? What are you going to see on the phone now? Oh, just pass what? What? Just what? You're wasting your time. Speak to yourself. That is this the time Allah has given to you, that this many breaths will pass, you're watching at the phone, and all those scenes will be big, big sins that will take you to Jahannam. Allah didn't give you breaths in your life to do this action. What shall I do then? Don't do nothing. Go to sleep then is better. SubhanAllah. Go to sleep is better. That you don't need to do anything. Oh, I'm tired of the Quran or doing this. Just sleep then. That whilst you're doing dhikr, sleep. Alhamdulillah. Whilst you're doing dhikr and sleep, the angels will come to you at that time. You can do this at least then, isn't it? Rather than wasting time, best action. Yes, the need when you're doing dhikr, if you're tired, you'll feel sleepy, go to sleep. And Ramadan's about to come, so be careful. That don't waste time. Yes, so when should we practice this from? From today. Then we will get Ramadan. If we start practicing from every moment, concentrating the heart. Naqshbandi, Naqshbandi, that the name of Allah, Naqsh, has been imprinted on your heart, sealed in your heart. That's Naqshbandi. So give your focus to your heart. First, close your eyes and do dhikr. Then you can even open your eyes because your heart's alive. You can do dhikr of Allah. Nobody's stopping you. No one's saying don't work, run your premises, business, shop, 8-10 hours work. No problem. That work you're doing in parallel with doing dhikr of Allah. There's rahmah, mercy, barakat, blessings of Allah there at the same time. This is cool. Dunya is coming as well and hereafter is coming as well. World is coming as well and hereafter is coming as well. You understand what I'm saying? So do dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah. Do you understand today's discussion? Okay, now let's do the dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, recite the Rushri.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, as-salatu was-salamu ala sayyidina al-mursalin, shafi'il mursalin, tawbu yasin, wa rabbil Allahumma salli ala sayyidina maulana muhammadin nabiyyil ummi wa azwajihi ummahatil mu'minin wa zurriyyatihi wa ahli baitihi kama sallaita ala ibrahima innaka hamidum majid wa sallim tasliman qa'iman abadan kathiran. اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وظلمنا وهزلنا وجدنا وخطأنا وعمدنا كل ذلك إننا ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب الميزان وادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين يا رب العالمين اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم اهدنا الصراط المستقيم اللهم استعملنا بسنته ونفعنا بمحبته واشرنا بزمرته يا كريم يا قاضي الحاجات اقض حاجاتنا يا دافي البليات اشف بلياتنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا يا شافي الأمراض اشف مرادنا ہمارے ایک ساتھی ہیں بہت ہی پرانے ساتھی مانچسٹر کے حاجی غلام محمود صاحب وہ سخت مان ہیں انٹینسو کیئر میں ہیں ان کے لیے خاص طور فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ ان کی خدمات کو بھی قبول فرمائے اللہ تعالیٰ صحت کام اللہ عاجل نصیب فرمائے اور جو بیماری میں تکلیف ہوئی اللہ کو عاجل نصیب فرمائے ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما اللهم دبرهم كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم دبرهم كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا واستاذينا وجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الحياء من الأموات برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.